Everybody doing good? Yeah, kind of. That's kind of weak. Weak. All right. Well, we got a lot of things going on tonight. We got communion, so I don't know why they gave me communion. They're going to cut me off like that. Come on. Right? So I've got a lot in my heart, and it's going to be hard to share everything, so we better get going, right? All right. So, I'm the life group pastor here at Victory Life Church, so guess what I'm going to talk about? Life groups. Life groups. Going to talk about life groups. Is there a TV? Are we working here? Yeah. I don't know that I've ever used these TVs before, but we're going to try it tonight. So, here's the deal. Why life groups? Why are we even doing life groups? What's the point of it? You know, I get all kinds of reactions. I ain't got time for that, and this and that, and oh, that's great. I'll try one out, and we get a lot of different reactions when we start talking about life groups. And listen, guys, life groups are incredibly important to this church. Now, my shirt, what does my shirt say? Jesus was in a life group. But you know, it wasn't just Jesus. Paul was in a life group. Moses was a life group pastor. We're going to talk about that tonight. Yeah, he was a life group pastor. I'm going to show you. Life groups. Listen, one of the deals about why we have instituted life groups is because we have lost our sense of community as a country. We've lost it. Absolutely lost it, guys. Social media. I know I'm on social media a little bit. I actually recently got back on Facebook just to use the Victory Life page so that I could make posts. But I loathe it entirely. And that's my opinion. I'm not telling you to get off Facebook, but I loathe it entirely. Instagram, all this stuff. Listen, you're being inundated constantly with junk. Constantly. And here's another deal. We think we have 500, 600, 700 friends. We never leave the house. We never talk to anybody face to face. Oh, I've got friends, really? Well, you get a flat tire, who you calling? You don't know those people. Chances are you might know a handful of them, maybe. Right? I'm telling you, the enemy loves Facebook. The enemy loves Instagram. He loves it. And I'm not teaching about this tonight, but I will just give a little spill. I'll teach on this another time. You can go research this for yourself. Our cell phones and devices, actually, we're addicted to them. And medical science tells us that it creates something in your brain called dopamine, that when you get a ding on your phone, you look at that and you, oh. And it's just like doing cocaine. It's just like being an alcoholic. And we give it to our kids and say, here, have a phone, go. Internet at your fingertips. Look at whatever you want. Be on social media and all this. And then our kids can't look someone eye to eye and say, how you doing, sir? But they've got 500 friends. Right? Life groups. We're trying to get our people face-to-face, community, right? Do I have my picture? Is the picture up there? I want to show y'all this picture. I don't know if the picture's up there. Y'all see it? Look at this. I seen this on a meme. Pretty funny, isn't it? Do you know what it said underneath? It's kind of sad. It said, this is the only way I can get anybody to pay attention to me. Wow, dressed up like a phone. Maybe I'll get some attention. Let's let that sink in for a minute. You're sitting 5 feet from your friend and you can't talk to him, you text him. You go to Taco Bell and nobody can look face to face and talk. You have to, everybody's sitting on their phone. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. Isn't that funny, huh? What are you doing? Put the phone down. Speak to one another. Did you know that a person needs 8 to 10 healthy touches a day to be a healthy person? 8 to 10, and your kids need more. Healthy touches. How can you touch someone and get a hug? How can you get a good handshake? How can you get a nice pat on the back when you never leave your home because you're doing this? It's proven fact that children's brains develop better when their parents touch them, hold them, caress them. Proven fact. You can go look it up, research it. Proven fact. But our society is teaching us, don't touch me. Right? Keep your distance. It's sad. Do you notice how when we build houses nowadays, there's no front porches anymore? There's a back porch with a privacy fence. No front porch. You know, the way it used to be, people would walk down the road and, hey, brother, what's going on? How y'all doing? They would actually talk. Oh, yeah, so-and-so did this and that, and we had a great week, or this and that happened. And then before long, hey, why don't y'all stay and eat with us? Life group. People used to do life together all the time. And for some reason, and I've got a lot of theories, but for some reason, we have turned ourselves inward, right? And we're supposed to be the most connected generation ever on the planet. But did you know the United States is the most depressed and lonely people on the planet? But wait, I've got 500 friends. Yeah, but you don't touch anybody. You don't talk to anybody. You can't communicate with someone without texting. Right? Think about what you're doing. Why do we have life groups? Because we want you to go with someone, go to their house, and speak with them face to face. We want you to get an encouraging hug from someone. We want you to get a firm handshake from a man that says, it's good to see you, and look them in the eye. We want you to, when you have that flat, you'll be able to call someone and say, hey, I've had a flat, man. Can you come help me? I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm on my way. Right? Instead of texting, I've had a flat. Could anybody please come help me if anybody's out there? And then you wait for someone to respond. Oh, well, I guess they're not on their app right now. What is that? That's loneliness. That's lonely. It's depressing. It's depressing. I should have wore that phone tonight. I should have got me a... Listen, life groups is us facilitating community connection, relationships. It's us facilitating, and sadly enough, it's got to the point where we've got to facilitate that. We got to schedule it nowadays. But here's the deal. If you will catch the vision, you'll change the world. You'll change Brownwood. You'll change it. I promise you. Because what people don't know is that they're looking for real connection. They're looking for true relationships. They're looking for that affirming hug and that good handshake. They just don't know it. A lot of them never experienced it. So, life groups. Life groups is a powerful way to pastor each other. A powerful way to pastor each other. Listen, when I grew up in church, they paid the pastor to do everything. We pay you. We pay you to do this. We pay you to do that. Listen, that is not even close to scriptural. Matter of fact, you can't find that in the scripture. That model is incorrect, wrong-o. Don't know where that came from, but that is not what God intended. Right? Let's look at this. Exodus. I told you that Moses was a life group pastor. Exodus 18. Let's look at this. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. What was he doing? Does anybody know what he was doing? He was trying to rule like 6 million people and take care of all the problems and handle everything. And his father-in-law said, this ain't good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen, us pastors cannot do this on our own. If we try to meet every one of your needs, if we try to visit every one of y'all in the hospital, if we try to do everything for every person, we will be in the grave early. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. And you can read on in this story. What does he end up doing? He says, listen to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the ways and the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Listen, the pastor needs to be before the Lord, hearing the Lord in the direction we should go. What does he end up doing? I'm not going to read it all for a sake of time, but what does he end up doing? He ends up breaking people into life groups. That's what he does. Hey, we're going to have people of 100 over here, and then those people of 100 are going to break into, 50s and 10s and so forth, so that you guys can take care of yourself. And if something big comes up, guess what? Bring it to me. And guess what? The people pastored each other. The people took care of each other. And if there was a great need, they brought it to Moses. Right? Life groups is that way. How many of y'all been in a life group and something happened and you call someone from the life group instead of calling Pastor Stan? Some people think that's wrong. No, we should call it, but pastor should be. No. He cannot, guys. If we cloned him 1,000 times over, maybe. Right? Let's keep going because the word says a few things about this. Y'all look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors. Some are pastors. Not everyone's a pastor, right? And teachers for the equipping of the what? Who's the saints? You are for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. You're supposed to be doing the work. You're supposed to be edifying the body. Isn't that what that just said? And we're supposed to be training you to do the work. Hello? I know, people don't like that. We want to sit on our pew and say, Pastor, go, Pastor, go, Pastor, go. And we're sitting up here going, go, people, go, people, go. Did you know you will be in places I will never set foot? You will talk to people I'll never see and never know, right? So we're equipping you, what, to go out. Man, good one. And then it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we all come into unity in this. We are. That's what we're doing. We're working on it. And we're getting there. We're getting there, right? Let's keep going. Let's look at the next scripture. It's a good scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. Pastor Dwayne taught a little bit on this, but I want to look at some of this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Wow. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Right? For we are God's fellow workers. We're God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. What does that tell me right there? Listen, some of you guys are out there watering. Some of you guys are out there planting seed so that it can be watered. And God brings the increase. I only have so much seed I can scatter. I can only go to so many places. I can only be in so many places at one time. But everywhere you go, you should be scattering seed or you should be watering seed and trusting God that he's going to bring the increase. Life group, doing life together with people that we may never see in this church, that's okay. And you're ministering to them. You're pastoring them, right? Pastoring is not getting up and preaching. I know a lot of pastors that couldn't preach themselves out of a wet paper sack. Doesn't mean they're not a pastor. They know how to love on people. They know how to care for people. That's pastoring. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things, or the simple things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Man, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh. Let's keep going. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. What does this scripture say? This scripture says right here that nobody has an excuse why you can't minister to other people. Because what did he, listen, he chose the foolish things. Listen, I'm foolish. Before I knew Jesus, guys, I was a mess. I was a goofball. He just said, listen, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter what family you come from. It doesn't matter what degree you have. It doesn't matter. He says, I choose you. Every person sitting in here today, God has chosen you. And you say, well, I can't do it, Lord. I don't have the goods. Yeah, you got the goods. You've got the goods. And he said right there, listen, I chose you. Whether you think you're the lowest of the low, whether you're a simple person, it don't matter. God says, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to confound the world. The ways of the world, they think they're so smart. Just watch what I do through ordinary people. Watch what I do. We have no excuses, guys. No excuses. Nobody gets out of this. Nobody says, I'm exempt, Lord. I get to sit on the pew. Nope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Good verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What's really cool about this verse right here is he prepared it beforehand, before you got born again. So what does that mean? Basically, that means that I don't get to work for my salvation. I get born again so that I can do the works. She was talking about love. You ever think about it this way? God says that God is love. And we're supposed to bear his image. We're supposed to reflect his glory. We're supposed to be like him. Well, if God is love, guess what you're supposed to be? Love. You're supposed to be love. And the works that you walk in, guys, he's equipped you with love to do those works. He's put it in you. And he called you before. He called you when you're in your mother's womb to touch people's lives, not to get blessed, not to get a new car. You know, sometimes we preach this gospel that's all about me. And I got to go off on this. Please forgive me. We tell people this, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but I want you to think about this. We say, hey, if you don't want to die, say this prayer so you can go to heaven. Where's that in Scripture? Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you must die. We kind of got it backwards. And what we do is we make Jesus our servant instead of us being his. It's called a self-serving gospel. It's not in the Scripture. Jesus says, hey, you want to follow me? You take up your cross, you follow me. He says, if you want to gain your life, you lose your life. Then you gain your life. And what I see a lot of times, we have Christians all over the world. They're waiting for their blessing, their breakthrough. And they're frustrated. Why? Because they're serving their own bellies and they're using God to do it. You're not here to get a blessing. You're here to be a light. Did you hear what I said? You're not here to get a breakthrough. You're here to shine. You're here to be transformed into his image and his likeness. And a lot of times we teach, hey, pray this prayer and go to heaven. Listen, that's about that much of the gospel. About that much. Jesus didn't come so you could go to heaven. He comes so you could be transformed back into the original picture. into the original picture. And we're worried about going to heaven. Listen, heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is in the presence of God. He came so you could be forgiven, so that you could be transformed back into his image and likeness, so that you could shine. And one day, when he comes back with no veil, you can stand in his presence. Lord told me something one time in worship. It's so powerful. We were talking about this song. This song is every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And I was like, man, you know that, Lord. That's a good song. And that's scripture. And he says, the Lord told me this. He says, I want to tell you something. He says, you will bow. He says, but you'll choose to bow. He said, others will be made to bow. Whoa. What do you mean, Lord? You know me. You've been transformed. You've been transformed back into the image. Just like Adam and Eve was before the fall. And when I come, you'll know that's God. Boom. That's my Lord. Boom. I'm going to bow. Not because I'm made to. Not because I'm made to. Because listen, if I didn't know him, oh, I would bow whether I wanted to or not. I want you to think about that. Listen, what are you saying, Joey? Listen, one of the things that, let me be careful. One of the things that we miss becoming Christian is when we get born again, there are things in our lives that are supposed to die, and one of them is selfishness. And I hear all the time, well, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for life groups. And I get to talking to people. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be rude, but it's all about them. And a lot of times Christians are frustrated and they're mad and they're upset because they hadn't had their breakthrough and God didn't do what they wanted to do the way they wanted to do it. And I'm thinking, do you even know him? You are not here. I'm telling you, you're not here to get a new car. You're not here to get your mortgage. Now listen, can God do that? Yeah, but what does the scripture say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What have we done? We've seek first all these things, and then we add the kingdom of God at the end so that we can get what we want. You need to read the scripture about dying. He tells us all the time, you died. You died. How can I have an opinion about the music? Well, I don't like that music. You died. Your opinion is dead. Think about it. I don't like all the songs either. I have to sing some of them, and I don't like them. But you know what? I died. It's not about me. It's about him, and I didn't come here for me. I come here to worship my God. Amen? And people say, well, I ain't got time for that. Well, what you're really saying, is you don't love me very much. Or you don't love them very much. I ain't got time for you. It's a tough word. I've done it. Man, I was going to go fishing, and we had church service thing going on, and I had it all planned out. What is that? Selfishness, pride. That's my thinking. That was supposed to die when I gave my life to him. I'm digging up that old man. Digging it up. And you know what the thing is? When we get into life groups and we start serving each other, God will bless you like you ain't never been blessed. Unless your motive's impure. Because how many people serve and they say, oh, I'm going to go serve in, I don't know, children's church, because that's like the closest thing to hell that I can think of right now. Whew. It's like, Lord, did I not know you when I died? What are we doing in children's church? It's just not my thing. You know, I'm going to serve in children's church, Lord, and you're going to heal me. And then you get, and you're frustrated and you're miserable. No. If I'm going to serve in children's church, I'm just going to serve because I love God and I love people. And it ain't about my opinion. It ain't about, right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get in a life group and I'm going to serve people. I'm going to pour myself into people. Why? Because it ain't about me. As much as I want it to be at times, it's not about me. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We make things matter more than what matters most. You think you're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, well, you worked all that overtime, made all that money for your kids. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to give you 3 crowns instead of the 1 I was going to give you. God don't care. We made every softball tournament that year. My kid played in every softball tournament and played in every league there was. Well, how many times were you at church on Wednesday and Sunday? Well, we didn't get to go because we were, listen, in the eternity, that don't matter. Is it okay to play softball? Yeah. Is it okay to make softball matter more than the Lord? No. And you look at America, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about America, that's what we do. Everything matters more than church. Matter of fact, we've got to the point where we're smarter than God. America, they're totally smarter than God. Just look at abortion and all the things, oh, gay marriage, all that. Smarter than God. Telling God what to do. Look at this. You have something to give. People say, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. You have something to give. Let's check out this story. Matthew 25. This is a very famous story, and I bet you've heard it 100 times if you've ever been around church. But let's look at it a little different. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2, and to another one, or to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Let's pause right there for a second. That tells me right there that every single one of us have been given something. You've been given a gift, you've been given a talent, you've been given something. And let's just make it real clear before we get into this story. It's not yours. It was given to you to give away. It was given to you to do something with it. Right? Remember when I said you're without excuse? Listen, all of us in here are without excuse. God has given you something that you can work with, that you can bless people, that you can be a light and shine for his great name. Everybody in here. And this story's talking about it. Let's keep going. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Awesome job, dude. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now stop right there. We've got 2 people. 1 had 5, 1 had 2. Can y'all say that's a little bit different amounts? But did not the Lord reward both of them the same way? Did you know he's not calling you to get up here and do what I do? More than likely. He's not calling you to do what some of these other great preachers are doing, Dwayne and Pastor Lee and Andrew Womack, Todd White, and these people that you see on TV. He's not calling you to do that. He's calling you to do what he's put in you. And he's going to say, well done. Right? If you take what he's given you, whatever amount that is, and do what you're supposed to do, right? So check it out. The last guy, we know the story. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid. There it is. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. What does he say to him? The Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. Ouch. I don't like that at all. That almost gives me like chicken skin just saying that. Just, ooh, not good. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. We can stop right there because I don't want to go into the rest of the story. Listen, the thing that God gave you isn't yours. He gave it to you to do what? Give it away. When you give it away, guess what it does? It grows, it multiplies. It's what it does. It grows and multiplies. Whether it's little bitty, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that God's put in you, you give it away and it grows. What did these guys do? They took what he gave them and they went and gave it and traded and they did things with it and they got into people's lives. They touched people, they hugged people, they did all these things. And it grew. And then the people said, no, you know what? Lord, I can't do anything. There's nothing good in me. So I'm just going to chill. I'm going to go to the lake. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go hunt. I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to make things matter more than what matters most. And when you come back, I'll just let you have what's yours. You know what this really, and I'm not saying this is what this is saying, but it almost seems like these people that say a prayer so they can go to heaven, but there's no change in their heart. There's no fruit under righteousness. And then, well, I said the prayer. Really? Where is that in Scripture? Do you know that the Scripture says there will be people that stand before the Lord and he'll say, depart from me, I knew you not. And they said, hey, we cast out demons in your name. We healed people in your name. We preached the gospel in your name. He says, I don't know who you are. Get away from me. I'm telling you, if you will get to know him, and I'm talking about know him. I'm not talking about I do my time, I go to church. I'm talking about get to know him. And listen, I'm not saying get to know him so you can get a new car or get to know him so you can get healed. It's a funny thing. Once you get to know him and you really get to know him, it's just like things happen. When you seek the kingdom first, I'm healed. Oh, my gosh. Right? It happens, doesn't it? You know it happens. You get to know him. He'll change you. He'll change you from the inside out. Dwayne was talking about that holy fire inside of you. You know how you release that fire? Several different ways. One way is by doing the works that he's called you to do. You put a demand on grace, it's going to come. You put a demand on it, it's going to flow. Another way is getting in the Word, praying, getting to know him, walking in faith. You start doing these things and that fire is going to come out. What does that fire look like? Love. I hadn't figured this out, but one of my favorite pastors, he says this. He says, people used to get on my nerves. And he said, when I got born again, I got new nerves. And I said, Lord, you got to help me with that one. I'm not quite there yet. But you know what? 5 years ago, I'm better than I was. I'm better than I am now, or better now than I was 5 years ago. There it is. I'm better now than I was 5 years ago. And the more time I spend with him, the better it happens. The more it gets in. You know what? I look in the mirror of the Word and I say, you know what? I like what I see. The Lord's changing me. Yep. So why don't we do these life group things? What are we doing here? I'm giving you an opportunity to release the holy fire. Because you've got something that somebody needs. And it ain't the pastor's job to do all the work. God put gifts in you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And everybody's sitting in here. Why? Because you're going to get around somebody that needs what you have inside of you. They need that thing that he's given you. And you say, it's really not yours. It's yours to share. It's yours to give away. And when those people are around you, you release it. And listen, when we're sitting at home, and we're looking at Facebook, and we're watching Netflix, we're not doing that. Or not. I'm just being honest. I'm not being mean. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm passionate. I will tell you that. I am passionate about this. But I'm not upset. I'm trying to stir you up. I'm trying to stir you up. Because I promise you, you go release that fire in you, and you'll be like, hey, I was blessing them. Why am I so blessed? I was trying to bless them, and God blessed me like 5 times over. Why? Because your motive isn't to get blessed. Your motive is to be a blessing. Think about it. You have something to give. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Y'all know this one. You are the salt of the earth. Who's he talking to? You guys. We're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how small or how shall it be seasoned? It's worthless, right? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I don't want to be that kind of person. You are the light of the world. Who's he talking to again? Us. You guys are the light. That fire that's in you, what does fire put off? Light. Light. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We're hiding it a lot of times, guys. And I'm not saying you need to go to Walmart and go nuts and get a megaphone and start preaching the gospel. But you know what? You go through that line, and that lady is frazzled, and she's, oh my gosh, the first day messing up. And you're like, you just, it's okay. Just take your time. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us today. Thank you for getting our groceries done. We appreciate you. That's all you got to do. The lady's like, well, people don't talk like that. Well, the world don't talk like that. Right? You're at the gas station, and there's a line, and you're, I got to get and do this and that and get the gas in. That's not God. Do you see Jesus doing that? Would those words come out of Jesus' mouth? Why are they coming out of your mouth? Now, I'm not saying we don't get in a moment like that, but you need to recognize and say, wait a minute. That's not who I am. That's how we change the world. That's how we change Brownwood, right? And I'm telling you, life groups is a facilitator of that. It's an incubator, because here's the deal about life groups. I know y'all are like, oh, life groups. No, listen, life groups is an incubator for that, because listen, it's not supposed to stay in life groups. Life groups is the beginning. It's a starting place. It's practicing ground. Training ground for you to release the gift, because sometimes we release the gift and we're like, ooh, sorry, missed it there. It's okay, brother. Let's get up. Let's try it again. Right? It's okay. You know, I really thought I was supposed to do that, and I missed it. It's okay. Let's do it again. Right? It's training ground. It is training ground. Hebrews 13. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. I'm going to have to shut this down where we can do communion, right? But do not forget to do good. I like this. And to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Isn't that simple? God says, hey, don't forget to do good. Share what you have. What do you have? You've got God Almighty living inside of you. You've got a holy fire inside of you. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, there you go, telling you no more than God knows. Because God said we do. And you may not feel it, and you may not believe it right now. Walk in it. Try it. Just do good. You know what? Our society today, they cannot do good. They just can't do what's right. Watch them. They can't do what's right. And you know, and I know our president sometimes is a goofball, and he'll tweet something that's goofy, you know. But what of all the other people that he tweeted against do? They're right back at him. And this and this and this. They can't do what right. They can't just do what's right and go, you know, it's okay. You can say whatever you want. And I'm okay with that, you know. I'm not going to let you determine my day. Right? Do you realize when you let people determine how your day goes, they become your God? You realize that? Well, they were mean to me. They treated me bad. They should know better. They might should know better. But at that point in time, they didn't. But you're making what they said about you matter more than truth and who he is. Right? Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to say it again. Life groups is an incubator for you to work those things out with like-minded people, believers, who can help you walk it out. Amen. Leave a legacy. What does it mean to leave a legacy? Did you know we're losing our young people because the old people hadn't passed it down? I'm just telling you the truth. And it's hard to find. It is hard to find. I'm not bragging or anything, but I feel like my parents and my grandparents, they did good. But I look around and I go, where's everybody at? You know, you don't know to do this? You don't know how to be a husband? Didn't your dad teach you how to be a? No, they weren't there. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, and we're widening this gap. Where are the people that, why isn't this building full? Because the generation just said, oh, they'll get it. We'll just let them fly around and do what they want. They'll pick it up. No, you have to pass it down to us, guys. You have to leave a legacy that is worth it, a legacy that is of God. And you know what? There's some kids that they may go on a path that's not good for a while. It happens. That's not your fault. You raise them and train them the way you're supposed to. Some kids, they go on a wrong path, and that's their decision. That's their choice. It's not yours. But at least you pass down that legacy. And I've seen time and time again where those kids come back. Time and time again. Leave a legacy. What does it mean to leave a legacy? Look at... Oh, let me just do this right here. Something, a legacy is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or a predecessor from the past. You guys need to be transmitting. We need to be transmitting to our kids. Transmitting how to walk this out. Keep going. Be generational. That's my scripture here. We got my scripture. Am I out of gas? My quarter run out? Here we go. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. How do they know to praise from generation to generation? Because the generation before taught them to praise the Lord. Right? It's what I'm telling you, and I know, good life groups, it's what we're doing. We're teaching and training each other. There's things that I know that you don't know, but there's things that you know that I don't know, even about God. When we get together, fill those gaps. Yeah. Then we leave a legacy for those that come behind us. I like this. This is my Star Wars quote. I'm a Star Wars fan. Sorry if you're not. Don't hate me. But the great Yoda, he says, always pass on what you have learned. I'm like, Yoda's been reading the Bible. Pass on what you have learned. Pass on what you... Listen, in life group, guess what you're doing? I'm passing on what I've learned. I'm investing into people. Investing. I'm taking what God has shown me and I'm showing someone else so that they can know him better. Amen? I'm going to encourage you today. You need to step out in faith and you need to do something that's beyond yourself. Just give you a quick testimony about myself. 5 years ago, God called me to do what I'm doing right now. 5 years ago, whew, this is tough. I said no. I said no. The Lord took me on a journey. And I finally said, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to change me. Because I can't do it. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to deal with people. These people are messy and they hurt my feelings. They hurt my family's feelings. And he started teaching me. He started training me. And the biggest thing he said is, you got to get over yourself. So what do you mean, Lord? Just got to get over yourself. It's all about you. It's all about what you can do and what you can get and how you can get it. And you know, I knew God, but I didn't know God. I knew a lot about God. And he started changing me. And he ain't done. I'm going to challenge you to get over yourself. And get out and do something that's beyond yourself. Because I'm telling you, when you stand before him in that holy fire and everything that is not of him burns, and you're left before them, there's a lot of things we're doing that ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. That we put so much stock in. We put so much energy in. That we think matters so much. And God says, I didn't put you here to accumulate wealth. I didn't put you here to have the nicest house on the block. I didn't put you here to do all those things and get your blessing and get your breakthrough. I put you here to shine. I put you here to look like me. I put you here so that you could die and I could live in and through you. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, this church cannot build a church big enough to house the people if we would step into who he's made us and release the gift. And we've set that up for us in life groups for you to get a start. You say, I don't have time for life groups. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to serve. I don't like the music. I don't like how long it is. I don't like how short it is. You just need to go die and bleed out somewhere. And I know that sounds horrible, but your old spiritual man needs to just go die. Because we bring in our rights and our motives and our thought processes. And we try to incorporate them in with Jesus, and it doesn't work. It's not about what you think. It's not about even what I think. And when you stand before a holy God, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? That's what he's going to say. And I want to be the one to say, I took all that you had, and I gave it away. And when I gave it away, look at all this that we got back. Amen? You say, what are you getting back? People. People. It's a funny thing. When you plant a seed grows and it seeds out. It drops seed and then the seed goes into the ground and it multiplies. Jesus talks about seed all the time. What was the scripture we talked about? Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. And my heart for every person in here is for you to stand before God Almighty one day and him say, well done. You did what I asked you to do. What did he ask you to do? Impact people. Touch people. Shine. I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are frustrated today because they hadn't got their blessing. Listen, I'm blessed already. And if you'll wake up every morning and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you have saved me. You have changed me. You've made me brand new. And today, Father, help me shine in every situation. It's kind of funny how we pray, and I'm not getting on this, and I'm not bashing anybody because I've done this, but we pray, oh, Lord, please help me have a good day today. Don't let anything bad happen to me. Just let me have a wonderful day. And then we go out and something bad happens, and we get mad at God. God, where were you? God's not here to let you have a bad day. You know what God is here for you to do? To go through that bad day. You talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why didn't God deliver them from the fire? Why didn't they have a good day? You're called to shine. And Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But we pray, no trouble, Lord, no trouble. Don't let me have any trouble. Maybe he wants you to shine as a light in all trouble. And people see you overcoming the trouble that comes by the power and by the blood of Jesus. And then they can see what a real Christian is. No trouble, Lord. Then you get in a car wreck. Well, where were you? My brand new car. It's not about cars. It's about shining. I don't know why I got off on that. Next time you pray, I want you to think about how you pray and say, Lord, today, as I go through today, Father, whatever comes my way, help me be a light. Help me shine. Help me be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. Help me not bring my lofty opinions and ideas into it. Just let me shine for you. Let me speak forth your word and your truth. Amen. And at the end of the day, you would be glorified, not me. Amen. Life groups. Life groups are coming up. Life groups are a way that we facilitate community. It's a way that we pastor each other. It's a way that we help each other release the gifts and the talents that God has put in you. It's not a program. To be honest with you, I've got 38 groups. I got a group while I was sitting right there, a person turning an application. The most we've ever had is 28. So I'm praising God. That's awesome, right? 38 groups. I'm shooting for 40. But here's the deal. What does that mean? That means that more people are being touched than ever before. More people are being pastored than ever before. More people are being trained than ever before. More people are having someone cultivate that God has put within them so they can release it to bless someone else. That's what it means. It's not about a program. It's not about getting a shirt, even though they're really cool. Right? So I'm going to encourage you. Listen, I'm not really saying join a life group. What I'm really saying is get involved in people's lives. Make an impact for the Lord by getting involved in people's lives. Right? So, well, I didn't see a life group I like. Start one. Impact somebody. Right? Step out in faith. Do something beyond yourself. Because listen, none of us have an excuse. We've all been gifted. We've all been given that holy fire. We've all got that stuff in us. And when you're not out there helping and you're not out there doing your part, we're missing out. We're missing out. Amen? You know what's really cool? God trusts you. Isn't that cool? Isn't it funny how we, I don't know if I trust you, God, I don't know if I trust your word. God's like, I trust you. I trust you so much, I came and live inside of you. He trusts you. You say, well, I'm nobody in this. No, you're not. You have purpose and destiny and God living inside of you, and you can do anything he's called you to. Amen? So what's God put on your heart tonight? It's time to release it. Time to step into it. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to do something cool tonight. We're going to do communion. We are going to do communion. We're going to take our focus off us and we're going to put it on his body and his blood. We're going to remember what the Lord did for us.